Ruthie was only 5 years old, cute as a button. But one day she disobeyed her mother. And her mommy knew that she needed to do something about it. She decided not to punish Ruthie, but instead to give her a warning. And she said to her, "Young lady, if you choose to disobey me, you will have to live with the consequences." Well, Ruthie's eyes opened really wide and started tearing up. And she said, "Mommy, please don't make me live with the consequences. I want to live with you." Well, she didn't understand. She was just a child. But what about us? Do we understand what it means to live with the consequences? I don't know about you, but I've disobeyed God. And I have to live with the consequences. I'll take that back. I do know about you. We have all disobeyed God. And we all have to live with the consequences of that. Robert Louis Stevenson said this. He said, "Everybody, sooner or later, sits down at a banquet of consequences." Can you see that? Good ones? Not good ones. Adam and Eve learned that the hard way. And they were cast out of paradise, and they had to work for their food and for other necessities, and you and I inherited all of that. And later in the Bible, God was very clear to the Hebrews. Listen to just part of what he said in Leviticus 26. This is hard. God said, "But if you will not listen to me, and if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out my commands and so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you." Consequences. "I will bring upon you sudden terror, wasting diseases, and fever will destroy your sight and drain away your life. You will plant seed in vain because your enemies will eat it." Wow, that's pretty heavy consequences, isn't it? That was Old Testament. But similar things were said in the New Testament. This is Galatians 6, 7. "Do not be deceived. A man reaps what he sows." We all know that he means man and woman. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. That's pretty heavy. The one who sows to please the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, what does all that have to do with the focus of today's message, which is Psalm 41? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then we went to 11, 12, 34. We're up at 41 now. I don't know if we'll get to 150 before he comes back, but 41. Well, the answer is found in verse 4. And if you've got your Bibles and if you're following with me, you can look at verse 4, Psalm 41, which says this, "O Lord, have mercy on me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you." Sin leads to consequences. That's what the Bible says. Who was the author of that psalm? And what was he confessing? Well, the author was David. David did not write all the psalms, so we'll just make sure we understand. David wrote this one. Although he was a man after God's own heart, he was also a consummate sinner. And now he's living with the consequences. And you know the story that I'm going to review. Netflix could not come up with a more sordid tale to put on television. David saw Bathsheba, and Bathsheba was bathing, and Bathsheba was naked, and David wanted her, so he took her, and he got her pregnant. But she was married to Uriah. Uriah wasn't around. He was in the army fighting for David. So David had him killed, and then he just went on his life as usual. That's pretty heavy pretty heavy sinning right there. And everything was fine until Nathan came along. And Nathan came, the prophet, and he put David's sin right in his face, and oh, the remorse that David felt for the consequences of his sin. Nathan said some really hard things to David in 2 Samuel 12, such as this. Nathan said, "Now therefore the sword will never depart your house. Out of your own household I'm going to bring calamity upon you." And then these very chilling words, "The son born to you will die." I don't know if you've ever lost a child that way, but I have. One of the darkest chapters of my life for Elizabeth and me is a stillborn child. And we had a David, and we had another son, and we decided to name him Jonathan. David and Jonathan. And I thought to myself, "Lord, what did I do to deserve this? What did Elizabeth do to deserve this?" David painfully learned the consequences for his sins. And in addition to that, David told him, "You're not going to be sick." And David was sick. Have you ever been sick? I don't recommend it. You know, when God created us, he did not want us to endure sickness. It wasn't his desire. But sickness is one of the big consequences of man's rebellion against God. And in the Bible, there are a number of illustrations of individuals becoming sick just because, not just because of the sins of mankind, but because of their own personal sins. So, the next time you get sick, it may be because of your sin. And yes, I'm preaching to myself. Now, in Psalm 41, David began by identifying himself in the third person. I don't know why he did that. The only other person I know that does that is Donald Trump. But he identified himself in the third person, and he said this, laying out the desire of his heart, which was to be healed. He said, "The Lord delivers him in times of trouble." Hallelujah. "The Lord will protect him and preserve his life." Hallelujah. "He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desires of his foes. The Lord will sustain him on his sickbed and restore him from his bed of illness." David knew he was suffering the consequences of his sins, but he also had confidence in God as his healer. Are you listening? He had confidence in God as his healer. The next time you're sick, remember that as well. God is our healer. I read a story about a Reverend Martin Niemöller in Germany. He didn't like Hitler, and he spoke out. Hitler didn't like him, so he had Reverend Niemöller arrested and put into a dungeon with a plan to bring him before a special court. And as you would expect, Reverend Niemöller felt a lot like David. He felt weak. He felt sick. He felt trouble. And he was scared. And the guards took him from his cell that day, and they took him down the hallway to go to the court. And on the way down that hallway, one of the other guards who was standing nearby started speaking to him in Latin. Niemöller could understand it, the guard could understand it, but the other guards had no idea what he was saying. And this is what the guard said to him. He said, "Nomen Domini tulis fortissimo." Nomen Domini tulis fortissimo. And that means, literally, well, it's from the book of Proverbs, by the way, 18:10, and it means literally, the name of the Lord is strong forever. The name of the Lord is strong forever. And Reverend Niemöller knew that the very next line in that passage was, the righteous run to it and are safe. So he was encouraged by those words. His confidence in God renewed him, and they didn't execute him. They put him in a concentration camp for 7 years. He ended up at Dachau, and he was rescued by U.S. forces, and he went back to being a minister again. The next time you are sick or you are in trouble, remember those words from Proverbs 18:10. Now, while those words were written after David reigned, they were still encouraging to him. And he wrote these encouraging words about God. He said, God delivers, protects, preserves, blesses, sustains, and restores. God delivers, he protects, he preserves, he blesses, he sustains, and he restores. The next time you are sick, or maybe you're even sick today, I think Susan said she's getting over a cold, which are better, allergies, amen. Next time you're sick, remember these examples from Psalm 41 of the words I just said, as well as that passage from Proverbs. And instead of speaking words of gloom about your situation, speak words of confidence in God. While the sickness may be a consequence of your sin, God is still your great physician. Where's Kathy Bow when I need her? Amen. Have you ever allowed yourself to ponder your past sins as David did? And have you ever dealt with that awful reality that you may be living with the consequences of your own sin? Imagine with me just a moment. Imagine that this room where we are right now is starting to fill with water, and it's getting higher and higher, and we're trapped, we can't get out. And the water's reaching the ceiling, and you're treading water until you're absolutely out of breath, and you feel like you're going to drown, you're going to die. And what happens? Your whole life passes in front of you. That's kind of a cliche. They say that when you think you're about to die, your whole life passes in front of you, and you remember all the good things, and you remember all the bad things. Everybody, many people who have had a near-death experience have reported having the same situation, or the same experience. Now, scientists have actually said that's true. According to the scientific publication called The Frontiers of Aging Neuroscience, they should come study us, don't you think? Frontiers of Aging Neuroscience, 13 neuroscientists recorded the brain waves of an 87-year-old man just as he was dying, 30 seconds before his heart stopped. 30 seconds after his heart stopped, the EEG machine showed that his brain activity became very active and his memory functions dramatically increased. I could use a little of that, could you? His memory functions dramatically increased. It's true, according to the science. As I said, just imagine you are about to die and your memory functions become active and your whole life flashes in front of you. I'm sure many of your memories would be great ones. I am equally sure and afraid that many of your memories would be of things that you did, that we did, or that we refused to do that displeased God and disobeyed God. Sins, small ones, big ones, very big ones, you know. Thank God. God, that today, in this room, right now, there's still time to confess your sins to God and seek his forgiveness and receive it. That's what he asked you to do. That's what he invited you to do. That's what he commanded us to do. He did the rest through Christ. Amen. Okay, David had sinned and he was sick, but there was something else going on. Psalm 41, verse 5, David added this. He said, "My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish?" That's pretty graphic, isn't it? Have you ever had enemies in your life? Someone who didn't care whether you lived or died? I never had to go to war. I'm very grateful I was spared that. Some of you perhaps went to war, or you know someone who did, who faced an enemy who didn't care whether you lived or died. All they were trained to do is to kill you, facing life, death itself in the face. But here is a reality that I hate. That mentality of, I don't care whether you live or die, and that hatred has become a bombardment of evil in our society today, especially through the entertainment industry, television and movies and theater and radio and internet. And even popular music today are all blasting a message of hate and revenge and even death. And our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren don't know anything different. Tragic. And like the birth pangs that the Bible talks about just before Jesus Christ is going to come back, it is getting worse and worse and worse all the time. We all see it. We all know it's there. David added more. This is verse 6. Whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely. Well, that hurts. Well, his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and he spreads it abroad. That stings. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying a vile disease has beset him. He will never get up from the place where he lies. Have you ever been the victim of painful gossip or slander against you? It hurts. It stings. But consider the possibility that it may have been because of your own sins. Now listen carefully to what David said next. This is verse 9. Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. That verse is just another one in the Old Testament of the prophecy of what Jesus Christ endured and the price he paid for us. Judas, one of his closest friends, who broke bread with him, betrayed him. And Jesus even quoted that verse from Psalm 41 in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 18, just after he had washed the disciples' feet. By the way, have you ever experienced a foot washing? The Church of the Brethren do that all the time. I was in the Church of the Brethren at one time, but believe it or not, I served in a Presbyterian church where the pastor got the notion one day that in a staff meeting, that we should wash one another's feet. It is a very humbling experience, very humbling. So just after Jesus had washed his disciples' feet, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas betrayed him. And the fact that he quoted that scripture from Psalm 41 just is another indication of how important this psalm is. Okay, now we've talked about the first 9 verses of Psalm 41. This is now verse 10. And we finally get to a refreshing word. The word is, but. Oh, I can hardly wait to see what's coming next. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me. How does he know that? How does he know that? Well, he tells us, I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Something's going right for a change. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Even in a dark situation like that, David could see light. David could see the goodness of the Lord. I want to be like that. Don't you? I want to be able to see light instead of dark all the time. I want to be able to behold the goodness of the Lord in my life and praise him for it. I want to speak positive words rather than negative words. I want to speak hope into my life and into yours and yours and yours rather than defeat. I think when we're sick, we make ourselves sicker when all we can do is say negative things about it. Guilty. Think about all of the great things that God has done for you in your life and that he continues to do for you in your life, and then think about how it must make him feel when all you can do is talk about the bad things in your life. You know, there's a, I guess it's a cliche, grumpy old man, grumpy old woman. The older I get, the more I understand it. The more socializing I do around mature people, the more I understand it. It must really hurt God's feelings. David said, Lord, you uphold me and you set me in your presence forever. I'll add one word to that. Hallelujah! In case you don't know, the word hallelujah means praise the Lord. Oh, but wait, David already did that. Here's the very next verse, the last verse in Psalm 41. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Or is it amen and amen? I don't really know. It depends on whether you're Baptist or Presbyterian. We could stop right there, but there's something important that we need to add. And now I'm going to take a huge U-turn. While sickness is a result of the sin in the world, not all sickness is a result of your personal sin. Let me explain. The mindset of the Old Testament that spilled over into the New Testament days is that all sickness and all disability was a result of one's personal sins. Not some sickness, not some disabilities. All sickness and disabilities was a result of sin in your life. But then came Jesus in the New Testament in John chapter 9. And Jesus went along and he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? That was their mindset. He's blind, so somebody sinned. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And if it was displayed in his life, in the life of the people who beheld it. And you remember, Jesus healed that man. That's what God wanted to do. He wanted to give hope and teach us that he heals. But it points out something very important. No matter what kind of negative challenges there may be in our lives, they may not be there because of our sins. They may be there because God has a bigger plan going on for his glory that we just can't see or feel or touch. Do we understand that? I don't think so. I don't think so. It's a matter of faith. But we read that, we hear that, but when you experience pain, It's hard to even imagine how God could be allowing that to happen in your life. Except that when you get to the last chapter, you may say, oh. We've been talking mostly about sickness. Let's broaden that a little bit. Maybe you have experienced a financial loss in your life. It's possible that God wanted that to happen to you so that he could bring glory to himself in some way that you never dreamed possible. He works that way sometimes. Amen? He works that way sometimes. But what about losing a job? Have you ever lost a job? What about losing a spouse? Have you ever lost a spouse? Or a baby? Or maybe your car got totaled. I don't know what happened. Something negative. But God is in control. He always has been, and he always will be. I don't know how many times I have said that in sermons. It just keeps coming back to me. And I keep saying, I think to myself, well, maybe I need to hear that more than you do. So let me ingest it, Lord. You're in control. You always have been, and you always will be. Maybe you need to hear it too. I don't know. Let me give you another example as I close this down. There have been times in the last few years when some of us in this room wondered if this fellowship was going to dissolve or not. I'm one of those people. After all, most of us are old, and the number of deaths, as we talked about last Sunday, equals the average attendance that we have right now. And there was a time when I absolutely dreaded seeing the monthly financial statements because I thought, this may be the one that will be our undoing. And then God humbled me and encouraged all of us by providing for us financially, and not just through one person, but through multiple people in this room and some who are not in this room today. And as for the shrinking numbers, yes, but I like that word, but I have seen a huge increase in the life, in the people who are in this congregation today, and the commitment and the worship level and the fellowship that exceeds anything that I saw when this room was full of people. Hallelujah. God's in control. He always has been. And he always will be. I'll keep saying it till we get it. I don't know what his plans are for Covenant Fellowship. I have no idea. But I know that I'm going to keep on worshiping. I mean, you know, David had bad things happen to him, and still he worshiped God. Jesus had terrible things happen to him, and he kept on worshiping God. When bad things happen to us, let's worship God. And pray this prayer that David also gave us out of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And when you do that, you will be blessed by the consequences. See what I did there? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are our God. And we love you more and more. May that increase. May it spill over from one person to another. May it draw all of us into a walk with you that we've never experienced before. And yes, Lord, we do ask you to search us. Know us and help us to know our own sins and to turn them over to you. In Jesus' name, amen.